This reel, the odds and ends on this reel to begin with. The odds and ends on this reel to begin with. This is Channel One Right. This is Channel One Right, a brand new reel. This is Channel One Right. This is Channel One Right, a brand new reel. This is odds and ends. I want to take off long rambling talk from Monday, the 21st of July, 1969. The second day of the moon landings. After the big day on Sunday, Cookie came by with lumber on his full tandem trailer to extend the shed. It was early, and he'd taken off the afternoon. He'd taken Helen to the funeral. He said he wasn't up to going himself. He had a headache. And we talked a bit. This is on Monday, the 21st of July, 69, odds and ends. Now, to start with, I had had a kidney x-ray and had had to take Castrol as a purgative during the night.
Monday.
Yeah, it used to be it wouldn't.
You what?
It used to be I could drink twice that much Castrol and it wouldn't affect me.
You taking the Castrol?
Oh, my God. I was raised on it. That used to be our annual cold medicine. Once a week we have pass a bottle around and I'll all take a snort.
Yeah.
Castor oil.
Yeah. Remember, it was a regular thing.
Huh? That was a regular thing with my family.
Yeah.
Castor oil.
Yeah. Main thing, you said? These other purgatives?
Yeah, Castor oil, that was it.
That was it.
Well, you got off fat pretty easy. What did you take it for, Faye?
Cold, I go to the drugstore and they give it to me in root beer. I can't stand root beer then, and can't stand it now.
You know, when I take a lemon, I can still taste a little Castor oil. I can still taste a little castor oil when I taste a lemon. Cause
don't bother me.
Where'd you find that remedy for poison oak, Cookie? Just always known it?
No. We had a fellow working for us. He was around the name of Hall, Raymond Hall. He was a neighbor there back on the farm. He worked for us back when he worked for 75 cents a day. From daylight to dark.
Yeah.
And Alberta, my sister next to me, she had poison oak all over. Her arms were just in it. Broke out something on it. We had to carry the water back on the mountain when there's a hole in the corn, you know. And
that's enough for you.
And Raymond told her one day, he said, "Now you get you some of that weed there and rub on your arm." And he said, "That stuff will go away."
Hmm.
And by golly, she did. It did. It went away.
Mm-hmm. You just rub it on.
Yeah.
I don't believe I ever heard of it.
Well, it'll work.
Did you ever hear that thing?
No. It's when Cookie used it out here.
And it worked out there?
Yeah.
And that is, he didn't catch part of it?
He didn't catch it, no.
Just rub it on?
Just rub it on. We rub it on until you can get the sap out of it on your skin.
Yeah.
And it sure worked.
Water, soap it
with that. When you get done with a wasper or a hornet or yellow jacket or something like that, Mama used to use sorghum molasses and soda.
Yeah.
It'd draw the sting out quicker than anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we got a carbuncle on us, well, it's just fat meat and turpentine on it.
And I figured that full cup. I got to take my baby to drink that. Any
take right there on that knife?
Yeah.
I just come up there in a little, just a little watery pimple about, about the size of a match head. That's lead poison.
I never had that.
That's lead poison.
Out of paint?
No, I guess me.
Oh, you get a certain amount of that and you'll know it, is that it?
That's right, and you can't resist it. Your body won't resist it. Now I've got another one coming right there.
Yeah.
Just a little pinhead right there.
Well, your body's got more than it can handle.
That's right.
I never made hay like you was talking about with a mule and a sorghum mill. Now that's all brand new to me. I never even seen that. Now how would I miss that?
I don't know. But now they had balers that you just went round and around just like you did when you made sorghum molasses. You know how they do that? How they squeeze the juice out of the cane and. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta stick the cane down that mill and you grind it.
Yeah. Well, now you take you put your hay down in a chute similar to that in a hay baler and your horse goes round and around and winds it up in there, and the first thing you know, you got a bale of hay. You got to tie it by hand.
Oh.
Yeah, you tie it by hand. It takes 3 men to run that baler. One to put the hay in.
Off the wagon?
Off the wagon or the stack or wherever it might be, see. And then you got to have one man stick the wire through on one side, back through, and another one on this side to push it back through, and then the other man ties it.
Well now, Kenny was talking about that down at the barbershop, you know, and he said the way as I remember it, the hardest thing to do was get the hay in the bin, in between the mule, time the mule goes around.
That's right. That's right. You got to have pretty good time. Throw it in the bin just after the mule goes around. Throw your fork full in the bin just after the mule gets past it, see?
Mm-hmm.
Then by the time he gets back around there, well, he's done got the hay's already fed down in the bin, so he won't drag it out with the sweep, see?
Until he won't drag it out?
Yeah, when he goes around again with the sweep, see? See, you got a big long sweep, and it goes around and around. Well, just as he goes around and he passes that chute, you throw your hay in there.
Yeah.
All right, then he'll come on around, see?
Yeah.
All right, before he can get back around there again, well, the hay's done fed down in there far enough to where when he goes around, the sweep won't knock it off, see?
Oh.
You see?
Oh, yes. Yes. And you got to, that bin will hold just so much.
Just so much. That's right. Just so much.
Yeah.
Just like when you're thrashing wheat and oats, you know, the man is up on top of the thrashing machine feeding the wheat or oats in, he can just feed so much in at the hopper. That's all it would take.
Yeah, so he had to stand there.
He had to stay right there.
Just keep it going, regular, steady.
That's right.
Away from that to this stream of hay, that ribbon of hay that goes through that baler, isn't it?
That's right, a long ways.
What do you think happened to your uncle when he moved down here? He sold out.
Yes, sir.
And your daddy bought him out.
Dad bought all the farming equipment, yes, sir.
He had a tractor?
Tractor, hay baler, hay rake, mower machine, plow, disc.
Everything to go with the tractor.
Everything to go with the tractor.
And that was in 57.
58. No, no, it was in 59. Uncle Cluster came down here in 58, but it was in January of 59 that Daddy made this transaction.
Yeah.
That's when it was. 2,250 dollars.
And then you'd been raised there, right there, under your nose.
That's right.
Just grew up there.
That's right.
And then when he come down here, you never seen him.
He didn't know me. And I've been living in Hawthorne since 61.
Yeah.
I lived down south for a little over 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I came to Hawthorne.
Well, did you come down here about the same time he did?
We left West Virginia the same day. Same day.
Well, how did that happen?
I don't know. We left on the 15th day of October.
58?
Right. 15th day of October, 1958.
He come to Gainesville?
He come to Gainesville, straight to Gainesville. Well, it took me 4 days to get here. Because I was born a house trailer. For another fella. About like this one over here.
Yeah.
Just about such a trailer as that over there. I was born behind a 48 GMC 3/4 ton truck.
Yeah.
And 40 miles an hour is all I'd do.
Yeah, afraid to...
I was afraid of my tires, because if I'd have blew up a tire, I'd been out of luck.
Yeah.
I'd been walking.
Yeah.
That's all there was to it.
Oh, I'm afraid of tires, even when I got good ones.
So I was loaded heavy, you know. That trailer sitting on the back of that thing, and all squatted down behind, just single tires on the back. I knew I had more time than I had money, because I didn't have no money.
Yeah.
So I just took my time. 40 miles an hour, as fast as I'd come.
Yeah.
And I just drove daylight hours. I didn't drive none after dark. I'd get tired fighting that thing. Why? I'd pull over to a side of the road and stop. And the old man I was pulling for would pull in behind me, and we'd go inside and cook and eat and drink and just have a big time.
Oh, it wasn't yours?
It wasn't mine, no. It belonged to another fella. He told me, he said, I was broke. I was flat. I didn't have nothing.
In 58?
58, I was broke. I didn't have no money.
Well, when did you get out of Korea?
Oh, 52.
Way back.
Yeah. And he knew I was in a bad situation. And he told me if I'd pull his house trailer down here, I had that truck, you know. He said if I'd pull his house trailer down here, he'd pay my expenses down here, normal expenses, and keep me for 6 weeks after he got me here.
Yeah.
And guaranteed me a job when I got here.
Oh, you left the family there.
Oh, yes, yes, I left my family up there. All right, we came down to Umatilla. And I went to work for the Umatilla Citrus Growers Association for 65 cents an hour in 58.
That's inconceivable, then.
That's right. That's all I could find. That's the first thing I could find. I was desperate. I had to work.
Yeah.
7 days a week. I worked 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Every minute I could put in, I was out there punching it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd save. I'd half starve myself and saved enough money to take me back to West Virginia. And get my family and bring them back and pay a month's rent on the house that I was renting.
Yeah.
Yeah. $50 a month rent for this little two-bedroom house. furnished, which was pretty good.
The association owned it?
No, a lady up north of there owned it, about 2 miles north of it, on 19 of them. She's dead now. She was 83 when I rented it from her. And I go back home at Christmas. I saved enough money to pay my rent, feed myself, and go back home, get my family.
Christmas.
At Christmas. And brought them back to the state of Florida for Christmas. Mm-hmm. That was her Christmas present. And Helen will tell you right today that that's the best Christmas present she ever got. That's right. Laura remembers going to school up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Cookie, why was it things so pinched up there?
There's just no work. Coal mines had shut down, and I was in the coal mining section, see. And coal mines had shut down.
And you never farmed, not after you got married.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was on the farm when I came down here. I left the farm because I just couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Just couldn't make it.
You stayed with it till you about starved, and then you had to get away.
I starved to death and had to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
2.5 years I farmed.
And it got so you couldn't go around buying up cattle and make a living at that.
That's right. The price was so invariable.
Yeah.
It's up this week and down next week.
Yeah.
So rotten that you just, by golly, you couldn't judge them.
Yeah.
I never lost no money to speak of on cattle, but I sure didn't make any the last year I traded.
The cattle was one of the last things to sort of bring a fair price. The cattle dealers were always looking for a good buy.
That's right.
And I think most of them are gone now. Everything goes through the livestock market.
That's right.
And it's impersonal. And you'll get the going price for them. Sometimes you'll do better.
That's right.
Any time during the year, just about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it hadn't been that way long.
No. Well, see, back then, they only had one market within a radius of about 150 miles. See?
Oh.
Well, back out in these woods, but way back out in the country, see, these people had no means of transportation to get their cattle in to the market, see. So what we'd do, I'd just take my old GMC truck and I'd go back out and I'd beat them bushes, you know. And buy up a truckload.
Yeah.
Like this week, the sale was on a Friday. Okay, I'd say I'd take off on Wednesday, and Thursday I'd go hunt me a load of cattle. Wednesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the last bunch I bought, I get $2,100.
And you kept them 2 weeks and made $25?
No, I didn't keep them at all. I just started shuttling after I bought them. I took my old truck, taking two at a time to market. That's all
yeah.
I could haul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And after I bought my gas, it was 35 miles from my place to the market. 17 head. That's 70 miles to get two of them out there. And that old GMC was getting about 9 or 10 miles a gallon gas.
Yeah.
Still, gas was still high. Well, I figured up, by the time I paid the gas bill, paid the sale bill on the cows, which was $2 a piece, I had about $23 or $24 left. I hadn't made that much money in all that whole run, day and night. I decided right then it was time for me to go. I had them figured to clear me over $250.
Yeah. But you don't eat it all up.
That's right.
Too much handling.
Well, the 17 head brought me $2,177. I gave $2,100 for them.
Yeah. Well, you got
all over that country.
Who'd you buy them from?
I bought them from a man by the name of Lawrence Hamrick. They were good stuff, real good stuff. They wasn't purebred Hereford, but they was all red with a white face.
Mm-hmm.
Good and in good shape. If the market had been that weak, like it was the week before, I'd have made them a $250.
Yeah. A poor man can't hold a bag.
No, definitely not.
The money, you can't take a chance. You can't play the market.
Today, guy, I have never priced another man's stock.
Oh.
No, sir. Let him set that price first. Then you figure from there.
Yeah. Well, what is the great difficulty in setting a figure?
Well, I play them like this. Say, for instance, I went out here to buy a yearling heifer, which today would bring around $100 on the market. On an average, just a grade heifer, bring around $100. All right, if I go out here to buy that heifer, and the man asked me $110, I just have to say, no, I can't pay that. He said, well, what can you pay? And I'd tell him what I could afford to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would offer him a certain amount. And if he took it, well, that's his tough luck. If he won $110 and I offered him $75 and he took it, why, that's his tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to bed at night and go to sleep with a clear conscience that way.
Yeah.
Where if you go up and the man says, I don't know what I want for her, how much will you give me? You say, I'll give you $50. And you take her out here and make $50 off of her. I couldn't go to bed and go to sleep with a clear conscience that way, guy.
Yeah.
That's why I would let every man set a price first. Then I would make an offer.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times I just bought them, paid for them, say, well, I'll just take them.
If it's a fair price?
If it was a fair price.
You wouldn't haggle?
No. No, sir.
Well, there's nothing in it now.
No, sir.
Just buying and selling like you did. You got to go to market.
You got to go to market and buy poor stuff and try to grow it out and make some money that way. Otherwise, you ain't gonna make no money.
Well, where did your
When did you start on the mechanics? Was you a mechanic then?
I was a mechanic before I went in the Army.
But you didn't follow that trade up there?
For a while I was working, yes. After I come out of the Army, that's all I'd done for, I come out of the Army in 52, and I took sick and went in the hospital in 55. January 55. The boy took me to the hospital, Charleston General Hospital, January the 8th. 55. I stayed there till January the 14th. And Helen went in on January the 17th. And Harriet Ann was born on January the 18th.
How long were you there?
In the hospital. From the 8th until the 14th.
Now, was you doing mechanic work then?
Yes, sir.
And after that, you quit?
After that, they wouldn't let me work for 6 months.
Oh. Oh, you just had to take it easy.
That's right. Live on milk and eggs. 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, sir?
Right. So that's when I went back to the farm.
Yeah.
I moved back to the farm then.
Well, what are you doing with an officer?
I don't know.
You don't worry.
I do a lot of worrying.
You didn't then. I always think of worrying is giving the officer. Your uncle down here, Uncle, what's his name?
Cluster.
He come down here and he just left the family behind.
That's right. Then he's had two of his boys come down. One of them, he taught at the university for a while. He was out in Poultry Science Department for a while.
Yeah.
Then he went back to Athens, Georgia, the university up there.
Yeah.
Then he went from Athens to Washington, up to the State House. He was up at the White House for a while. Oh, yeah. Big wheel.
Now that's Uncle Cluster's boy.
That's right. Then he left there and came back to Columbus, Ohio, and he's teaching in Columbus, Ohio right now.
So he done well.
Real well. Real well. Then he has another boy over here in Gainesville now. Bernard Cook. He has this Cook's Door Control Service. Works on automatic doors that open, like these supermarkets and so forth. You walk up there and step on that pad and it opens automatically. Now he installs and repairs those.
That'd be right ticklish work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because they gotta work.
So that's what he does. And just a year late, well, I'd say within the last 6-7 months, 8 months, after Uncle Custer was operated on for gallbladder over at the Veterans Hospital. But he's been calling me up once in a while.
Yeah.
Since then. Well, they called me then and told me that he was in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And what his trouble was.
Yeah.
Well, that's unusual, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So that's how you see each other.
But see, I'm the only one of my immediate family that's in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
All my immediate family's back up in West Virginia and in Ohio.
Yeah.
I feel awful myself.
You have these headaches, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Have some more coffee?
No, I've got a half a cup for you. He told me what to get. Told me how many blocks and how much sand and cement and everything to get.
Now, Wynn's got sand and blocks and cement.
Yeah.
They'll haul it up here. Cost you more. Depending on whether you're on payment. But then, you know.
Mr. Todd will supervise his septic tank.
You can't connect your electricity yourself.
I got a friend, first cousin, Helen's, lives down at Crystal River. We think they're coming up this weekend. And if they come up this weekend, well, I'll get him to put his seal on the inside of the box and I'll go ahead and hang it up anyway.
Now that's all they got to do.
That's right.
Just put your seal on it.
Mm-hmm. If he don't come up, I may go down and get a seal so I can stick it on there myself.
Oh, what's wrong with that? He can send you one.
Yeah. It's sealed with his name and number or something on it. Anyway, they got a number to go by.
Yeah. How much it cost you, ordinarily?
To get someone to do it, $50.
You couldn't possibly cost that.
They furnished they got to furnish the box, see, and everything, and then install it for $50.
Oh, that's the total cost.
Total cost, box and all.
Yeah, but the box would cost you $12 or $15, and the wire would cost you a couple of dollars.
No, so the wire cost me $6.
$6.
$6.67 is what the wire cost me. The box cost me $17.
That's a little high.
That's a little high. But I couldn't went in Gainesville and bought one wholesale.
They didn't have them at the home builders.
They didn't have them at home builders.
And Sears, you have to order.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I might get it next week, and I might get it next month, or I might not even get it.
You get it in a couple of days.
My luck could be about a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that's $23.
Yeah.
That's cost me about, well, I'll say $24. Well, I saved myself $26.
And it takes the electrician about 20 minutes to put it up?
A half an hour at the most. That's pretty expensive labor, ain't it?
Yeah. And he got to come out here.
Yeah, but you can't hardly get one to come unless you got two or three jobs.
He wouldn't come for that?
Not for one job. No. Uh-uh. Why not? You'd call him and they'd say, well, the first time we got a man down that way, we'll have him hook it up.
Well, you wouldn't call some electrician, you'd call the
one of the officers up there.
Yeah. You got to work through them officers.
Haven't you got any electrician friends in Hawthorne?
Uh-uh.
You know some.
I know one, but that, I know one in Melrose. But, as old saying goes, he's a bigger crook than I am, so I couldn't deal with him.
Yeah.
He'd take me for a ride and let me pull a wagon right along.
hard to see it. Your neighbor's just not worth a suit of hoot anymore. They just don't think like that.
Just dog eat dog.
You think that's what it is?
That's right. That's right.
Just
you work your property and I'll work mine. That's the way they think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was never brought up that way, guy.
Yeah.
I was brought up to help one another.
Yeah.
Do unto others as you have them do unto you. If you get in the mud hole today, if your neighbor gets in the mud hole, go help him out, because you may get in the mud hole tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I didn't find anybody out here that I could work with to do me any good or do them any good. And,
I don't know whether I've helped you out very much or not, but you certainly relieved me of a big burden.
Got a place to ride your horses?
That's right. That's right.
Well, I think the nice thing is just keep a little something going, you know, and not have too much. Not have enough is burdensome.
Now, this is a good bit. We talked a great deal longer than I thought we did. We didn't say very much. We didn't get started on anything. It's just miscellaneous, just scattered remarks, scattered information. Cookie's head was hurting him. He'd taken off the afternoon to take Helen to the funeral. He didn't have the heart to go himself. And as he left, he said another one of his neighbors had died from the same trouble, kidney trouble, and that depressed him. He said he was sort of scared about himself. I said, whatever you got ailments, you better look into them right there and not wait. Well, it's raining. Haze down, no prospect of getting it up or cutting down more, and we aren't ambitious about working on the shed. I don't want to work at all. So this is Channel 1 Right, around 4:55 to 60 on this new reel, Miscellaneous Remarks, on Monday afternoon, 21st of July, 69, the second day of Apollo 11, the moon shot when the man landed on the moon. Cookie hauled some lumber from Griffiths to extend the shed in the corral on that Tandem trailer. He took half a day off, and he's right miserable out here. This Channel 1 Right, 4:60 on this. Now, this is going back to on Thursday night, 17th of July, 69. On Thursday, July the 17th, 1969. Now, Thursday was our big haymaking day. Started late to raking. Nick raked early. Then Cookie got here, and he had to re-rake. And that took so long. What we finally did was to unhitch the mower and let him rake with a little tractor. And we bailed with a big tractor. The big tractor wouldn't bail, and the oddest thing happened. The bales left in it got wet and rusted that metal that they slipped on, where the pressure was so great. And Cookie found it. And when he came, he had to start the big tractor. The points had spread, he said. And then as we sat around the table, he is the only one to talk. He is the only one to talk. Those two college boys hardly said anything, didn't say anything worth hearing. Now this is Channel 1 Right around 4:75. Channel 1 Right around 4:75 on this miscellaneous reel, the beginning of this miscellaneous reel. Channel 1 Right, 4:75 to 80. Nick and his friend, Faye, Cookie, and I are sitting around the supper table Oh, it must be 10:30 and 11. It's 11:30 before Cookie leaves, I think, after 11.
Found that. When those first bills came out.
Yeah. But I thought it'd be slicker than that. I didn't think that hay would create that much acid, see, and roughen it up so bad.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw it do that anywhere.
I saw him do well.
Did you have to tie him any?
No. I think I tied 3 down here and 2 over here. 3 over here. No, I tied 3 over here and I missed it. I missed one over here. I couldn't see it. It got too dark.
Yeah, my attitude about a hay baler was kind of like they used to be, where you haul the hay up to them. I don't know that hay balers were ever like that, but you'd haul wheat up to a thresher or something like that.
That's right, yeah. Oh, yeah, hay balers were like that. They were stationary. They went round and around. You fed them just like you did a more or less a cane mill. A horse went round and round. You had a big long sweep.
Yeah.
And you had to bring the hay to the baler?
Had to bring the hay to the baler. It sat there stationary.
How fast did it work?
You're lucky if you got 15 bales an hour.
Oh.
Take you an hour, an hour and a half to bale a haystack, you know, like we stack our hay back up home.
Yeah.
It'd take you an hour and a half to bale one haystack after you got set up. And you'd pull it with a horse round and around.
Yeah.
Just round and around.
And throw it in from the haystack?
That's right.
Just stand at the haystack and pitch it?
Had a hopper of a concern.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hay in there.
How much would that haystack protect the hay, Cody? Of course, there's a good bit of waste.
Not too much. You wouldn't have a good bale of waste in a whole stack of hay.
Oh, really?
That's right. If you stack it right, you won't have more than a bale.
What do you put them on, the ground?
No, sir. You put them on poles or plank, just like you stack your hay in the barn down here.
Yeah.
And that moisture can go out and get air through there.
Yeah.
You make a platform almost?
That's right. Set your pole in the ground, about 2 feet. And you start building around it.
It'd take a lot of heat if you stack it right.
I love to build a haystack.
Now you go up like a teepee.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see you build a haystack.
There's a crooked one down there. Yeah,
I'm building one.
What's the youngest?
Give you some goo.
No, this is fine. No more, please.
How about the view? It's like, how is that?
Well, the youngest I was, if I can remember, I was 11 years old when Daddy put me on the stacking pole.
Yeah.
On the stacking pole?
That's right.
Or did he do that?
Oh, yeah.
They throw it up to you?
That's right. I taught my first haystack out when I was 11 years old. And we were still a stacking hay when I was on the farm in 58 before I come to Florida. They replaced me with the tractor and all the equipment on the same farm.
They replaced you with a tractor.
That's right. I had a pair of horses, big horses. Daddy sold the horses and bought a tractor.
And that's when you left.
He did that after I left. My uncle left the same day. We left the 15th day of October, 58. Well, he went back home, my uncle did, in I believe he went in January, sold his farm, and sold Dad and my brother-in-law all of his equipment, tractor, I mean, he cleaned house, everything, hay baler, mowing machine, rake, trailers, wagons, he sold them everything for $2,250. And Daddy sold his horses. He had a big pair of bay mares. Looked a lot like Molly. Built a lot like Molly.
That is a
big horse.
Big horse. They'd weigh 1,700 pounds. That's right.
Anybody
worked
horses that
big for me. Oh, yes. I worked a horse in the oil field that weighed, put them both on the scales and weighed over 4,000 pounds. With just the bridle, with just the halter on.
How much Molly weighed?
She weighed about 1,250, 1,300.
That's right, that's what you said. Mm-hmm. How do you know so much, Cookie?
I don't know.
They don't be trivial.
I'm not trivial.
Tired. Lives in Gainesville right now. Come down here and bought him a home in Gainesville and retired. And he's almost dead.
Doing nothing?
Doing nothing.
You ever see him?
Oh, occasionally. He didn't know me for 3 years.
Huh?
He didn't know me for 3 years until about 6 or 8 months ago. He got in the hospital and called me up. When he called me, I went to the Veterans Hospital and seen him.
Out here.
That's right. But he didn't know me for 3 years.
And that's the first you knew he was there? Oh,
I knew he was over there. But he never come to see me. I never went to see him.
And you'd brought up together,
huh? Sure.
He just getting away from all that old timey stuff.
He took a big head.
Took a big head.
I've seen it done. I know.
Well, Helen, ain't I seeing her daughter? I saw Helen in the grocery store and just high at him. Never even said yay or nay. And after Uncle Custer got in the hospital, when he got in the hospital, well, they called me and told me he was in the hospital. Well, I politely went over and seen him, paid him a visit.
Yeah.
And after that, he's friendly, but he ain't able to go. He ain't able to do anything, get around.
Did he go back to work?
No, he's too old. Broke down. He said he's 72. Dad's 70.
Well,
no, he's 73. Dad's 71.
Yes.
He'd feel a lot better if he's out on a farm someplace.
Well, sir, they won't have to farm and feed and all those things anymore. They have nothing to do.
The world is self-death because they haven't got nothing to do.
Walking around.
That's right. That's the way he does.
I give you some more beans?
No, ma'am.
Something?
Not had enough. Put breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Why'd you have a breakfast today, Cookie?
Cup of coffee.
No toast? Are you not running out of groceries?
Nope.
Well, all I can say is it certainly took you a long time to get your breakfast there on supper.
No, that's right. I had to go to High Springs at noon. I punched out at 8 minutes after 12. I went to High Springs, seen a man, got my business taken care of, was back at the shop for 5 minutes to one.
And no lunch?
No lunch. I drank a quart of coffee this morning before noon.
Well, I should have given you a glass of milk tonight.
No, it's coffee. It's hot.
That's, I think that's sparing the groceries a little extra, a little more than your fella needs to.
I just can't eat when I get up in the morning.
You can't?
I just can't eat.
Nick, you tell him what you have for breakfast.
Me?
Uh-huh.
Well, egg and bacon.
Not just one egg.
Can't hear you.
Tell me now. Tell the truth.
Oh, so I can hear you.
Oh, eggs and bacon and juice, toast.
What do you mean eggs? One egg, two eggs, three eggs?
Five.
No, depends on how I feel.
How'd you feel this morning?
I only had one this morning.
Don't believe it.
But I had toast, whole pieces of toast, a couple glasses of juice.
How many pancakes?
No pancakes. Two, three pieces of bacon, a couple pieces of sausage, piece of ham.
Hot dog?
No. No hot dog.
You a meat eater?
Yeah.
No grits?
No. Dad didn't fix anything for me.
Dad,
usually I have some grits.
Yeah.
Usually I have grits too.
Are you a little short then this morning?
Yeah.
Did your daddy cook breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
And still he's skinny.
Usually he has five eggs and
he eats so much. He eats so much it makes him skinny.
Makes him poor to carry it around.
Poor.
Well, you know now, Helen, when she comes in the morning, she sits down and eats breakfast because Laura has breakfast ready when she comes in.
Yeah.
And she'll eat. She never stops under two eggs. Never.
You do well in England. You don't want to go to France. You want to go to England.
And she'll eat these oatmeal, a bowl of cereal.
Not oatmeal, just cereal?
No, she eats oatmeal once in a while. Then she Laura don't fix oatmeal while she'll eat dry cereal.
Well, that's not got anything to it.
Not in my book. That's just a waste of time and effort. It takes time to eat it.
Yeah, that's a nervous habit.
Cooked yesterday.
Yeah, I like it. Once in a while, if I can get up, go out and mess around for a couple of hours before I eat my breakfast.
Yeah. Well, you ought to be like the Norwegians. They eat breakfast, a good big bag to start with, and in the middle of the morning they have an extra breakfast. So you come in on the second breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cooks it.
I don't want.
Now you take your time. I'm not.
I don't want no. Fish.
No fish for breakfast?
No. Mm-hmm. I tell you the truth about it. If they cook fish in the house like for me, I can't eat them fish.
I can't either. I can't stand fish any kind.
I can't stand the smell of them where they're cooked. But now I can eat them if you take them outside. Or cook them outside and take them inside, then I can eat them.
Can you eat them outside? I can't eat them anywhere, anytime. I can't smell nothing.
Have you ever had a rainbow trout broiled
on a fire kind of wrapped fish,
in bacon strips?
Every kind of fish I've eaten, and I don't like it.
I've had them. There's something else I can't eat.
What kind?
English peas.
You can't even eat if English peas have been cooked in the house.
Well, that's why you
know. Say, who answered the telephone, Laura or Frank?
Laura.
The kids like their daddy and mommy went home with them overnight. She passed her test for her restricted license.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is that entitled?
She can drive in daylight as long as there's a licensed operator with her. School for 2 weeks and drive an hour a day for 2 weeks, then go back and take her driver's test. Then if she passes that, why, she can be on her own then, see?
Yeah.
Take my insurance up and have to buy another automobile tag and all that kind of junk.
Yeah.
I got to buy a car tag tomorrow too.
Oh, we got to put tags on.
Quarter nine.
Forget what time it was we stopped by down there. I just want to see how you were coming with the car.
Well, I didn't have time to tell him anything. I tested that yesterday.
Oh, you?
Oh, yeah.
And you got it?
Pinpointed to one thing.
You got it, huh? Clutch, okay? You got to do anything about that?
I did all I could to it.
Is it better?
It's better, but it's still not right.
Need a new clutch.
Right.
What? How much a new clutch?
I don't know.
It's gonna be pretty expensive, though, isn't it?
Couldn't be.
Really?
Oh, it shouldn't be that much.
Not that much. The carburetors, you doing into that?
I tried to adjust it out, but it didn't help it any.
Mm-hmm. Have to.
It's got the vacuum ports from your intake manifold. It operates your power piston and your carburetor. It's just about closed up, the carburetor.
Oh, really?
Had to come out and be bored out.
Yeah, that's on that.
You can do that.
It's on that Corvette.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how'd you let the Corvette get out like that?
I don't know. Well, I hadn't had a cover. I hadn't been overhauled yet since we've had it. It just needs it, I guess. Don't they always need it after a while?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, I guess it's doing good to last this
and
long, don't you think?
Sure.
3 years?
Like
we
that.
Only run Sunoco 260.
That's true.
I guess that's about the highest you can get, Chance,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
That's good.
Either that or Amoco non-leaded.
Mm-hmm.
Which is better?
Hey.
For that car. You suppose.
Well, the best for it is Amoco non-leaded, naturally, because no lead in. But I would say a tank full, every couple months ought to keep the carbon burnt out.
Of non-lead?
Mm-hmm.
And then run the 260 out of the time? What's the advantage of the 260 over the non-lead?
Lead gives you a little bit quicker power.
Well, that stuff's blue. What causes that?
Blue Sunoco.
Yeah, I know. Blue Sunoco. But I never seen
the color in.
That old
just fresh picked.
The story everybody tells you, she wanted to carbon out and running 100 miles an hour.
Run,
fresh
run,
run. Is that true?
I hate it over.
Is that run the carbon out?
No.
Didn't?
No.
Well, how come everybody tells you that? What does it do when it doesn't do anything?
No.
I wonder how everybody gets that idea.
I don't know, but I can't die. I can't buy it.
Hello? What kind of cars did you take to the auction? Any good?
No.
None of them?
They had one. A little Valiant was pretty good.
Just got too many on the lot?
That's right. Too many old cars.
I didn't know they ever did that.
Oh, yeah. We took 260 Oldsmobiles and a 61 Thunderbird and a 60 Corvair, 59 Chevrolet, a 63 Valiant.
I get them all around there on a truck.
No, they got the niggers to run them down, and they send the car down, pick them up. And I think he's in a Falcon too. Yeah, it's in a Falcon, Jago Falcon.
Did you ever buy a car at the auction?
Nope. No, sir.
The odds are against you.
That's right. I'll go back out in the woods and buy me one.
Like you did over here.
Yeah.
That would be the most dangerous thing.
So when are you going to pick up that truck? You already got it?
I get it this weekend.
Cookie, Roberts asked me, Smith asked me, if we had got a clearance for the county permit for a trailer. He says they've got inspectors and they'll find you sooner or later. And you're supposed to put in up there for one. I said, well, I suppose it's mine. I've just put it on my own place. He says, it don't matter. It's all the same. And don't know anything that they've served, except they get a little fee out of it. And they, as far as I know, the only thing they sewage for the way they want you to do it. We haven't had that. I don't even have one like that now. Here.
Now this is at 10 o'clock. We eat supper after that big day of haying on Thursday, the 17th of July, 69. On Thursday, the 17th of July, 69. And this is the end of Channel 1 Right on this miscellaneous reel. And I'll continue this visit with Cookie at supper, after supper, around 10 o'clock at night on Channel 1 Over.